CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-G-G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-G-G-Man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty? Huh?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-G-G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-G-G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man. And we're back. And we're back. That was Cast on Your Vest with the track Titomboweni. Yeah, ne. Yeah. No. I mean, the less said about that track, the better. I finally has said it all, I think. But yeah, I mean, welcome to it. Welcome to another show of G-Man the Ad Man. We're having another fantastic week of advertising. You might be asking yourself, why would I play such a painful song? Because I must confess, I worry about, you know, there was a brand that worked with Casper this past year, or last year sometime, and I think it was Sunlam, where he did that other track, Mr. Madumani, and it was cool, you know. I thought the campaign was cool, I thought everything was tight, and then like, but what happens then? What happens after you guys have worked with somebody like that, they've done amazing things, and I think that that campaign, you know, it got a lot from that piece of work, and then. And then this guy, now he's associated with your brand, all right? He's associated with your brand, because we still remember that you guys worked with him on something like that. And then all of a sudden, he drops this track. I mean, do you now call him and ask him to pull it back? I mean, I think if I had the power to, I'd just call him up and say, look, Casper, thank you. There are people who still associate, you still have a contract with us. Please, don't, none of that right now. So, Casper on Your Vest, Mr. Madumani also made Titomboweni. I wonder how Titomboweni feels about that track, though. Like, do you think that Titomboweni is just like, damn it, I should not have given my approval to that thing? Because I'm pretty sure that they sent him the track to listen to, and all he was listening out for was the swearing. You know, like, he was listening out to see, are people going to be talking shit? Are people going to be swearing in my name? And then he listened to it, but because, you know, you shouldn't let Titomboweni approve your tracks. Just like how, you know, some people walk into approvals and reviews, and they think they can approve your radio spots and approve your TV and your TV ads. Those people shouldn't be approving them. Just like how Titomboweni should not be approving Cast on Your Vest tracks, because that's how we end up with stuff like this. So Shasha then to Titomboweni and Cast on Your Vest, and make sure that Titomboweni doesn't happen to you and the next radio spot that you put together or the next TV ad, because then, you know, you might have Ifani on your back. But dope. We have a dope show for you today. I'm going to be talking to some dope people. I think they're running late, but it's okay. It's okay. When they get you, we'll get the chat. But it's really cool because I have a lot to chat about. A lot has happened in the past couple of days, and I know you know that a whole lot has happened in the past couple of days. So it's going to be quite lit, as the kids used to say. Yeah, apparently that's not a thing anymore. Apparently lit is not quite a thing anymore, or is it? But hit me up on Twitter. It's at Blaxem, it's at BLAXEM on Twitter, or at CliffCentral.com, or you can hit me up straight on Facebook as well. It's Grant Stoller on Facebook. And then chat to me about all the stuff that has happened in the past couple of days. I'm gonna be getting into some of that stuff that has happened in the past couple of days. Yes, my guests are here. They've just arrived. Apparently the Gautrain, no, they haven't told us yet. They'll tell us later. Let's get into some of that stuff that's been happening in the past couple of days. You know, guys, I posted this thing about the brand Uzi, right? Like, please. Like, I'd like for someone to please find the guys who work on the brand Uzi. Whether you import the brand, whether you're a brand manager, or whether you're just a stockist of Uzi, right? There's obviously some kind of psychology that I'm really, really trying to get under here about what is it about Uzi that either makes you want to do crime or that makes you want to beat up people at the spur. You know what I mean? Like, what is it? Like, what happens, guys, at Uzi? Is there something in the fabric? You know what I mean? Is it unethically sourced so that... Because that guy now, that animal from yesterday at the spur, huge blue shirt emblazoned on the front, Uzi, right? You know, just keeping brand consistency going. But I mean, wow. It must have been amazing to be the guy. Well, it must constantly be amazing to be the guy who represents Uzi in South Africa because, you know, every week there's some guy in the docks there at Randburg Courthouse wearing an Uzi top. Talking about it wasn't me. But maybe they should look through that guy with the Lamborghini, the OR Tambo heist guys. Should we be looking into his wardrobe for some Uzi? Because I think that's how you can actually tell if someone is guilty. If that guy owns some Uzi stuff, even if it's just a pair of Uzi socks, take the man away. You know, I actually cannot believe those facts. I mean, after all the rooting, and I mean, it's kind of bad that to say that, you know, I think South Africa collectively were rooting for the guys in the heist. But purely because I think that we wanted to make sure that we can also have a dope story. And it would have been dope to say that these guys got away with it. And then, how? Matala. Yeah, you're going to make a 5 million rand purchase like you're buying data. Like you're going to buy MTN data, you're going to buy a Lamborghini. I'm not very, very impressed with that guy. But let's keep moving around. Let's get back to this Spur story. Like, hello. nice. Yeah, that's to confirm, guys, that my guests are in studio today, and I'll be telling you more about them in a little bit. But how was that whole Spur thing? You know, I mean, there was an entire day yesterday where people spoke about this whole thing. We're not going to get into the nitty-gritty of, you know, what that guy represents or whatever. We all know he's an asshole. He shouldn't have done what he did. But most importantly, I think we all know that, you know, the fact that those two adults were having that conversation in front of kids also just is not cool. That we're having that conversation in front of anyone, really. It's just not cool. But then I saw people, you know, just going, Spur, you know, why didn't you guys do more? Spur, you guys, the people who serve you your surf and turf at Spur, they were not trained to handle assholes. Their training does not include how to restrain racists. No, those guys fetch the food from the back, they bring it to you, and they make sure that you are fine, right? Food-wise, you know what I mean? And those guys they're not taboo. They are not Kantari. Those guys are not there to do personal security. They're not bouncers, right? And I think that also just blaming the brand, the bigger brand, for the actions of one idiot is a little unfair. And I tweeted as much as well recently that I think that you can't actually blame Spur. You know, they kind of, you know, they let in. I mean, they're the South African family restaurant, but the South African family is very colorful. So they bring everybody into the restaurant. And the fact that the guy was an asshole is not up to them. So I'm one of those people. Maybe it's because I have a very healthy relationship with Spur and the Surf and Turf. So Spur, I'm behind you. Fellas, I want you guys to know, I mean, the social media manager must have had a beautiful day yesterday. Must have gotten a phone call very early. But what was cool is that I heard on another radio station that they actually called the guy who's like the head of Spur, but he was in Saudi Arabia at the time. Let's not talk about that. You know, we'll get into that later. But he sounded livid. He sounded like he wasn't happy with what had gone down. And he himself announced that... the guy had been banned from every Spur in South Africa. Every single Spur, that guy can't go in now. So now his kids are going to hate him. Kids can't be happy because now they can't have a cream soda float because of their idiot dad. You know what I mean? But I think, you know, let not the kids suffer. You know, let's ban that guy. But the kids should actually be given a voucher to Spur. Another one, not the clan though. Just so they can see other parts of Joburg. Give them Spur vouchers. Let them go have a... I think we have a cream soda float. And at the same time, you guys have also just cancelled that Monday that Monday special of the two burgers, right? Maybe, like, no one is asking if that might be the problem. That's what might have caused this entire thing. So give them a voucher, give them two free burgers, give them a cream soda float, send us some vouchers. Jim and the M, we love some vouchers. You know what I mean? I'll take one. You know what I mean? We're quite a team, but I mean, we'll take one. We'll talk about when I'm going. But yeah, it's gonna be really, really cool. So recently, this past weekend, the Old Mutual Omni Dam happened in Artis, and it was really cool. I mean, I know a few people who went and ran the thing. Once again, it was another success. Apparently, dope stuff for the brand, because I feel like the brand is it's consistent in how its support for certain things and certain causes kind of always keep realigning back to the brand. So I think that's really, really dope. I didn't run this year because I was just not fit. And I didn't want to die in Artis. So I think well done to everybody that did it. Well done to the brand, for the consistency and all that. So that's cool. Yeah. Oh no. So I already spoke about Tito Mboweni. I think if I speak about that track one more time, I might have to throw up, but it's fine. But we're here. It's another week. G-Man, the ad man, hit me up. That's at Blacksem. It's at BLAXEM on Twitter, at cliffcentral.com on Twitter, and on Facebook, it's Grant Stolle on Facebook. But don't write weird things on my wall. Just like, if you have comments for my guests, if you have comments about any of the stuff I've spoken about up until now, hit me up and we can chat about it. And we also have that WhatsApp number. Remember, I told you about that WhatsApp number, 079-748-2090. And yeah, remember, like I said, I mean, don't call us. No one likes a WhatsApp call, guys. No one likes a WhatsApp phone call. Don't call us. Send me messages and we'll chat about it. We'll chat about what I'm going to be talking to my guests about. They've been doing some really, really dope stuff. But I mean, we're going to get into that in a little bit. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen... There's this ad that I actually encountered on YouTube last week, and it said Loop Bank, right? And I was like, okay, cool. All right, Shaf, let's see what this is about. And then I saw the ad, and like, you know when you have ad envy? You know what I mean? When you look at an ad and you say, shit. And then I was relieved to know that the ad wasn't flighting in South, well, it wasn't a South African ad. Because then I was like, okay, at least they're not competing with me directly. You know what I mean? I mean, I know I'll be competing with other people. And I mean, I'll unpack what that means in a week or so. And you get to understand what I mean by that. But I'm very happy to have in the studio with me today, some of the team that was responsible for that beautiful, beautiful campaign. But I'm gonna get them first of all to introduce themselves. And then we'll get into it. But okay, wait. First of all, I have to rock the horn. I have to rock the horn for the dope ad itself. So fantastic, fantastic. So yeah, I've got these beautiful guests in front of me right now. I'm gonna start right here. Some of you might know this lady, and when she starts speaking, I think those of you who do know will say, ah, she's there in the studio finally. So please introduce yourself, lady.
So we'll do this. I won't say my name, but I will say that my role.
Yeah.
You still got a great laugh. My role is group account director at Halo and taking care of the bank that we launched Loop with.
That's what's up. Shout out. So guys, if you haven't caught on, today we've got the people from Halo Advertising hanging out with us. And that was our corner. She said she wouldn't say anything. That was our corner.
Say my name.
And we're very happy to have them in studio today to be chatting about the new campaign. To just chat about Halo Advertising. So Akona, tell me this before we introduce everybody in the studio. Tell me, what do we pull you out of now? I mean, it seems like you guys are a very busy agency. I went through your guys' website. It looks like you guys are really, really busy. What else are you working on? What are you working on right now?
Look, let's say in my 10 years in advertising, I've never had such a busy first quarter.
Okay.
In 10 years in advertising.
Wow.
So
has it been 10 years?
It's been 10 years.
Yeah, guys, we've been in this game, man. Yeah, we've been in this game.
So we just launched Jacaranda.
Oh, hello. That's dope.
Their new proposition, which is
that's fantastic.
More music you love. We had a live lip sync billboard.
Yeah.
Where music that was playing on the radio was being performed by this couple who are going through a love story.
Oh, I think I saw that. That happened at Peron, right?
Yes,
in
billboard
Ilovo. Yeah, man.
And
yeah,
and
man.
Their music that they were singing, lip syncing, was broadcast live on the billboard while it was on the radio. It was quite incredible.
That was dope.
We've just rebranded Zurich Insurance to Bright Insurance. Dean's baby, actually, because at some point I was like, my life means too much to me. I'm dying. This is a lot of work, and it's so beautiful. You know, actually, when you have ad envy and creatives yeah. present work, and you sit there as a client service or strat or MD, yeah. And you sit and you go, oh, wow, that just happened to me. I need to go hold myself. And then the work began. Dean,
oh, yeah, you already mentioned Dean, so let's get there. Let's introduce Dean. Dean,
hello,
what's up?
Grant.
What's going on, man?
Hello, Grant.
Are you
Thank
well,
you
man?
So much for having us. I'm sorry for my cell phone ringing in for being a little bit late.
Yeah, look, this is what happens. You know, if we weren't able to do prep before the show starts, you know, because you guys came budging in like, right on time. But yeah, but welcome, guys. Good
Thank
to have you.
You
guys, man. It seems like you guys are doing some really, really big things, man.
Yeah, I think I had an interesting, you know, Tristan, who directed
Shout
that.
Shout out Tristan Holmes. What's going
Tristan
on,
Holmes, what a legend. Yeah. What an absolute legend, and what an amazing yeah. experience working with him. So we did two commercials. The second one is the one we're not really allowed to talk about. That's the one that's launching in April.
Oh, okay.
So there's a second one on its way for the parent brand of CBA. But yeah, I mean, you know, working with Tristan and Star Films, they said something really, really interesting, which said it took them 7 years before the industry took them seriously as a production house.
Ah, right.
And I think as an agency, we are 7 years at the end of this month. So I think hopefully we've managed to now pull together a lot of work that's kept us incredibly busy over November, December, January, which is unheard of. And now we're wondering what's next.
That's a serious question. And I keep joking that Halo only started when I started.
Boom! Boom! There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that's
that's our color we know, guys. And that is our color we've come to know and love.
Well, I think I would just like to say, as a rugby fan, I've got a corner in Dungani next to me, but I just think that she started at Halo when a corner in Dungani stopped playing rugby for the Bulls. So no one's ever seen the two of them in the same room at the same time. I'm just saying.
I'm sure we can arrange for that to happen. You know, just create a huge black hole in the studio. But that's fantastic, man. I mean, you say 7 years, 7 years this month, right?
Yeah, 7 years this month.
Shoot, dude, that's exciting stuff. I mean, you're right. It takes a while, especially for when you're not one of those, when you're not an agency affiliated with. Are you guys affiliated with any of the big agencies?
Totally independent, indie.
Yep. Yes.
Indie agency.
That is
insane.
Way forward.
That is fucking crazy. I think that, you know, for me, it gives confidence to all those agencies that are starting up now as well. Yeah. Like, but guys, you must wait till 7 years for you to start making amazing advent. Is that what it is? Does it feel like it needed to get to 7 years for you guys to start making dope ads?
I was originally thinking it was going to be five, and then I got to five and woke up on beginning of year six and I was like, okay, where's the dope ad? Still don't have it. But yeah, I mean, if obviously looking around, you look around at inspiration, other agencies, and you see how long it took them. And I think it took, it took a lot of agencies long. I mean, I think, I probably stand to be corrected, but I think King James took a good 6-7 years as well.
Yeah,
It does seem like that's the period. There's some agencies that end up doing it quicker, but they have to have big names.
That's exactly
it. I think Saatchi Abel just arrived and just were like huge
it just
overnight.
In there. Yeah. But so, have you been there from the very beginning?
I was one of the founders in the very beginning.
Founding partner. No, nothing wrong, founding partner. Nothing wrong.
So, I mean, we're not huge. We're an 18-man agency, but we're doing work we love, and I think that's the most important thing.
That's dope. Where exactly are you guys based?
Next to Summer Place.
Next to Summer. Oh, hey guys, the suburbs. So that's just there by St. David.
So
guys, you know where they are now. The guys who are making the dope stuff. I think you need to go and bother them.
Can we stop talking about us for a second? Yeah. About the work.
We're bad at talking about
us.
Trust me, I'm happy talking about myself. But I remember
I'll step in when the corner's done.
Oh, there it is.
There it is. As expected. So when I hounded Dean, finding him online, checking that he's not a racist, and then looking up Halo, and then saying, look, ooh,
of the day.
Oh, here we go. I thought we were done with that.
I also don't go to Spur. Yeah.
So
I'm a fan, Halo's,
so I went through Halo's work, and I was like, look at this. There's something about independent agencies and brave work.
That's
because
right.
You can be a little bit scary, and there aren't 200 people that have to say no.
That's right.
There's a fewer group of people that you have to convince, but you have to convince them hard because you are going to be crazy.
That's right.
And there was this work that I saw on the Halo website, which was the photographer who wanted to work with other agencies, and he sent his left testicle, I think it was, Dean?
Yeah.
he sent you guys a testicle, a photo of a testicle?
No,
we made testicles.
Guys, and that is advertising.
I'm showing you the photo.
Guys, no. And that is advertising. When you thought you were going to be making print ads and TV ads and changing the world, no, you're going to be handling testicles.
So Hugh Morris.
It's a huge metaphor for what we do, really.
Yeah. So he would send Grant Satole CD at whatever agency. Here's my left testicle. This is how much I want to work with you. And that came from Halo. And there was some CBA work that they did for the youth account. CBA being in Kenya. And I was like, ooh, I'll get to travel. And then I met these clients. And I was like, yes, this is how you do great work. Those clients.
Yeah. Yes.
You are looking at the testicle.
No, I am looking at the testicle, actually. It's really dope, actually. You know what? I think, carry on. Sorry. I got disturbed by looking at the testicle. Ask these. You know what? I think that it's really, really cool, especially when we're talking about agencies that have just started out. Like when you walk into, especially when you walk into boardrooms and you're going to see like new clients or prospective clients, right? Like how do you go and sell a brand new story? You know, and is it easy to go in there and sell a brand new story?
Oh, so, I mean, I think the first 5 years was really tough.
Yeah,
I think it was really difficult, and it's difficult also to find your feet or what type of agency you want to be.
Yeah,
I think that's you don't have a story.
Yeah,
you have nothing. You know, I got into advertising because it's what I always wanted to be, but I detoured into studying accountancy. And then coming back into it, I didn't have the red and yellow or the AAA or the Vega. Studies behind me, and I hadn't worked at the Ogilvy's or the ETV's, so I didn't have their experience. So I was like, well, you know, I read a story about when Jupiter started, was the story that they started because Graham Alsop was, I think, first year writer as an ex-lawyer, and he just said, screw this, I can do it better myself. So that inspired me, and that's when it started. But yeah, for 5 years, it was like, you got no story to tell.
Yeah. But that's amazing. I mean, for me, I feel like it's actually gotten, the game has gotten exciting because of stuff like that. And you know what? I have no beef or, in fact, I still value so much what people get from AAA and from Vega and all those advertising schools. But more and more, it's starting to seem like more people who are going, I didn't go the conventional route, right? But I still love this game, right? Yeah. And I'm actually going to build a brand new story that doesn't actually have to stem from an institution that costs 80,000 Rand a month. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But I mean, it's not necessarily that expensive. But I feel like, you know, what a part of the reason why the game feels so inaccessible to a whole bunch of people is because it's still got these walls around it about how to get into it and how I have to have been this and this and this and this. And to start an agency, you know, from scratch without any, yes, I was once at FCB for 5 years, is, you know, it takes a left testicle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the also independent agencies get a lot more, I think, get a lot more trust from clients.
Yeah.
So you can walk into those boardrooms and you say, I may not have a story to tell, I may not have the big backing of a big name, but I've got a story for your brand.
But do you think that smaller, more independent agencies are given more, like, it's a very weird thing, are trusted more to come up with the radical ideas? You know what I mean? Almost like I know what to expect from an FCB and an Ogilvy and whatever. I feel like, I think I know what to expect from them. But if I want something that's like going to be breakthrough, these new guys. Do you think that's the attitude?
So I think it depends on the size of the project.
Right.
I think if it's a 10 million Rand TV commercial, I think that'd be a lot safer going to FCB or Ogilvy and asking them to come up with a breakthrough idea for it. But I think if it was a once-off, it was a direct mailer or an activation. I mean, the testicle, and there was also a cut-off left pinky. You know, we worked with the guys... We worked with the guys who did the District 9 prawn suits.
Yeah.
And they helped us create a replica testicle and left pinky. And, you know, that's an example of a really, really small project that you got no budget.
Yeah.
And the only way you're going to break through anything is by being brave.
That's fantastic. But actually, on that note, I actually want to get into CBS now. Right, to your point. Like, I don't know. How did you guys land CBS? You know, like, this is like an organization in Kenya, right?
Yeah, so CBS, right? Commercial Bank of Africa. They're the biggest independent bank in the Eastern Africa.
Right.
So there's 47 banks in Kenya.
47 banks?
Yeah.
Right.
There are 8, maybe, in South Africa?
Yeah,
there
exactly.
There are 47 in Kenya.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So the meeting to collude is longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So... I'm kidding. Jeez. Yeah. Yeah. So talk to me about how.
So just a quick backstory, and I won't bore you with the details. But we when Halo first started out, primarily because the reason that we didn't have a big name behind us and whatever, and we knew we had to get some clients, we started inside the Interbrand's building in South Africa.
Yeah.
And we worked off a couple of their clients for a while until we went totally independent
again.
But in that time, CBA had just been rebranded by Interbrand South Africa. And off the back of that, their existing agency in Nairobi wasn't really getting the rebrand right.
This was
6 years ago. So we started working with them 6 years. 6 years ago. So they've been a client of ours for 6 years. They've been our major client.
Yeah.
And probably one of the reasons why our name hasn't probably grown in South Africa is because most of the work we've
been
doing
happening out there.
It's been happening in Kenya.
Yeah.
But it's been 6 years, and we've managed to build a team around that.
That's dope.
And then been able to create spin-offs locally with local brands based
on our
learnings.
That is so dope, man. So have you guys had people stationed there? Or has it all been like, do you guys have like a lot of Voyager miles though?
Yeah, a lot of Voyager miles. Yeah.
we sent someone there for 2 months. It was good. It was really good. It makes a world of difference.
Of course it does. Yeah. I mean, we constantly have this conversation about, you know, kind of arriving with your South African wand of advertising and saying, oh, you know, I think I know what you guys need. And obviously that's not the way to do it.
Sure. Well, we were discussing it in the car on the way here, in between me driving through traffic. Yeah, I think South Africans have a superiority complex when it comes to the rest of Africa.
Boom!
I think we know what they want. I think we feel like we know their audience.
Yeah.
They're totally different. You know, there's human insights across the globe that will work, that you'll see from Coca-Cola or a lot of the big winning work can. Like, it just touches everyone. It doesn't matter if you're in Africa or South America or Asia. It just hits you. So I mean, that is a difficult thing to get right every single day.
Yeah.
But you cannot pretend to know what goes on. I mean, even in East Africa, Kenya is so different to Tanzania, which is so different to Uganda.
Absolutely.
They're so different.
And it is strange, though, right, that South Africans have that kind of attitude towards all of it, because it's almost like if someone said, oh, South Africans and Namibians and Zimbabweans are exactly the same. Mm. Yes, we think that we can make an opinion about West Africa, or we can make an opinion about East Africa. It's a very, very strange thing.
How full of yourself can you be, though?
Yeah, right?
That I am the universal one, and therefore what I think is the most interesting is going to be the most interesting.
Yeah.
I don't need to find out about you. And that's also something that fails in our industry as a whole, insight and understanding our target market.
That's right.
Caring enough to be interested in who is our target market, who are we actually speaking to, and then going into the work after that.
That's so true.
Yeah, so, I mean, just talking about the Loop ad, a really good example of that is there's a global insight when it comes to millennials that everyone thinks that they're lazy and entitled.
Yes, I mean,
you don't need to know Kenya to know that.
Yeah.
But the insight that we got from the market itself is that all these millennials in that kind of market have what's called a side hustle.
Yeah.
And it's labeled a side hustle in their market, and it's bigger than, like, almost everyone has one. It's ridiculous.
That's
it's like
dope.
Every single person you speak to is like, what do you do after hours? Oh, no, I'm a basketball player, or I'm a baker, or I'm this or that. And it's like, and that was like, oh, well, that's the insight.
That's exactly what it is.
They're lazy and entitled. They might be lazy and entitled in the 9 to 5, but that's because they're chasing the 50-year-old's dream.
Yeah.
But they don't buy into that anymore.
That's fucking amazing.
So to go into it a little bit deeper and then saying, these guys are all doing these side hustles at night. There's like this whole industry that happens in dark.
Black at night, yeah.
And we want to tap into that and show that. And
that's so
kind of just the idea. I mean, it just, you don't need much more than that.
That's beautiful. I mean, I know you guys work with Mr. Charles Foley. Shout out to Mr. Charles Foley that I used to work with at FCB.
Yeah.
Was he a part of the team? I mean, how big is your creative team?
So we've got
11?
10. But a little bit more than half. Between 9 and 12. So Craig, Charles wasn't on this project. Yeah. He's on the other one, which launched in April.
Which you can't talk about yet.
Yeah, we can't talk about it. That's the CBA one.
Yeah.
So he's been on that. And then our other creative director is a guy called Greg Harrison. He was the creative director.
Shout out Greg Harrison. What's going on? Yeah.
Shout out Greg Harrison. He'll never be listening. Yeah. Still not on Facebook.
Yeah. That's dope, though, guys. That's really dope. Because I think it's really, really important. For the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about how places like Ogilvy, you know, have started doing work for global clients.
Yeah.
Started doing work as well, like kind of going, how can we make sure that we can participate on the continent like effectively and like authentically? You know what I mean? Without necessarily just being the magic wand, right? And so how do you feel? And it's also a very strange question that I'm about to ask, because it's a question that I normally get to ask to like photographers and people who say, it feels like I only got big in other countries before I got big in SA, right? And obviously that's something that you guys feel has happened to you. How do you guys plan on taking all that and bringing it, you know, helping people come over to your gospel on this side?
Yeah, I think that I prefer personally from a client service perspective, I would much rather go into the rest of Africa more. So
okay.
East Africa, West Africa, there is a wealth of work that can be done. For building Halo up in a South African context, I think there's always room for improvement. Hey,
That's right.
Ideas need to be made. And brands need to be grown. There's a wealth of opportunity.
Got you.
I think the African discussion is an interesting one because of this. Going back to how difficult it is to start an agency.
Yeah.
I think it's the lowest barrier to entry in any industry in the world. I think you need two guys, two Macs in a room and a house.
Yeah.
And that's an agency and an internet. And you got an agency. We've seen that with so many small startups that happen. I think that at last count there were something like 380 digital agencies in Joburg.
Sure.
So I mean that's just the digital agencies. What about the above the line? What about the activation agencies? And so locally the competition is so much tougher.
Yeah.
And then you add to that the economy and the economy in South Africa and where people are cutting budgets and suddenly you go, well, actually maybe the opportunity exists in Africa. Maybe we should stop trying to find and make ourselves big here. But my ego doesn't allow that. So that's all good and well in theory, but in reality we do want to make a name for ourselves here. Because you have to be able, if you want to attract and retain the best talent, you have to. So we do have to make a name for ourselves here. And I think like this year we're making a concerted effort to market ourselves. A concerted effort to enter a lot more awards, to have a PR firm that talks about us and do these kinds of radio interviews.
I'm here for you guys. Guys, Jim and the Admin here at the genesis of all things great. You know, we can come back now at the end of this and say a couple of months from now, a couple of years from now, and say, remember that first interview they did with G-Man and Edman? You know, and then I can sell those, you know, for money. You know what I mean?
Am I allowed to offer you a job yet? Yeah. I hope no one from Ogilvy is listening.
No. I'm not at Ogilvy anymore.
Oh, you're not?
So, no, I'm not. No, we'll talk about that. Hey, wait. We digress here.
We'll take this off air.
So, I mean, you just asked me what I thought about the ad. I thought the ad was fantastic. I mean, when I first saw it, like I said earlier, I was like, oh my fuck, this is dope, right? And then at the end, because I wasn't really sure what it was for. At the end, before I even saw the brand, I saw the line, unbank yourself. And I got a warm feeling at the pit of my tummy. I was like, oh shit, they've got us. And then I realized that it's for a bank in Kenya and I calmed down a little bit. I was like, oh, cool, that's fine. But I'll tell you what did surprise me pleasantly is that, you know, judging award shows and whatever and like things like the Louise, of which we are now officially a media partner, but I'll get into that slightly later. So a huge shout out to our and the Louise, I've looked at some of the work from other parts of the country of the continent, and it's always been like I want to say quality without sounding like I'm being condescending, but there's always a certain finish that's missing from the work a lot of the time, right? And I'm like, fuck, you know what would be cool is if we got our heads out of our own asses and actually started exporting the quality that we think we know should be out there. And then I saw this ad and I was like, Blexim, this is a very, very well put together ad, you know? And then, you know, and then I found out like Tristan worked on it, you know, and all that. And I know, you know, the guys at Star Films, they don't hold back when it comes to quality control. And you also know how Tristan is when it comes to that kind of shit.
Tristan is incredible. He's intense and surprisingly calm for someone who thinks that much. It was 7 days of, sorry to cut you off, Dean, 7 days that I...
Seven nights.
Because some of the ads had to be shot day and night.
At night, yeah.
Because you have your daytime work story that we had to tell, and then your side hustle. So at 1 in the morning when you are in some, I don't want to call it a ghetto, a township. You're
yes.
in a,
no,
in a
it's
township.
Ghetto. There's no two other ways.
Yeah.
And you're in some
nice
township.
Around the edges.
You are peeing across the...
Even the client
like
in Kenya's like, I'm not coming there. Sorry.
Yes, even the client is like, good luck. Thank goodness you are the suppliers and you have to do the hard work. And all through all of that, and there was no complaining, there was no ego.
Yeah.
You know how those things get.
That's right.
When,
yeah.
when people have been working for 18, 20 hours,
yeah.
no one's got a sense of humor.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one wants to talk to anyone. But it somehow worked out for 7 straight days
That's
and
fantastic.
Nights that everyone was just working. And the Star Films crew, plus the crew in Kenya,
yeah.
and everyone just gelled. And I was like, yes, this is how it happens, actually.
Yeah.
You,
That's
you
how the magic
You're
happens.
Not working in a silo. You're not the most important person in the
yeah.
thing. Yes, Tristan is the director, but he's nothing without
yeah.
this person and that person and this person and that person. And for 7 days, we were this cohesive...
That's
thing
dope.
That believed in an idea.
That is absolutely dope. I love the sound of that. I think that's really, really important to us creating work. And I mean, I know Chili speaks about this quite a bit, about like, you know, once we start like, you know, doing things the way we've always been doing them, the work will get vanilla, right? And it feels like there has yeah. to be a new approach. But
totally.
Now tell me about that. Tell me like about the selling of the work, selling this particular ad. How long
sure.
did that process take?
So we got briefed on this. We've been working on this brand since March 2015.
Right.
So it's been 2 years. So, I mean, the first step was the strategy, and then we actually created the brand identity. And then we probably got into the television launch campaign in about March last year.
Right.
So about a year ago. We actually finished the ad in November. So
let's
give you some time, some time frame. But we first went in there we first presented the Unbank Yourself proposition,
yeah.
which I think was quite an obvious one with a new millennial digital disruptive financial
right,
services
right.
brand. If anyone's listening, that's what it is. And then, and then we had to try to sell the work. And I think I've had much harder sells before and much smaller projects.
Right.
But I think this is the benefit of working with a client for 6 years.
Right. So
I would never have sold this work 6 years ago.
You think
not
so?
In a million years.
Yeah.
No way. It's too brave for the work that Kenya's quite a conservative society.
Right.
Very conservative society. And I don't think we would have sold this work if it was for the mother brand either.
Yeah.
Which is a proper down the line financial services brand. But they had to disrupt. And they needed to do something quite bold and quite brave. And I went in there and the way we sold it was we said, you guys are targeting a generation that hates banks.
Yeah.
Hate them. And the only way to do this is to create a bank ad that's not a bank ad.
That, absolutely.
And then we looked at references from some of the Adidas stuff that has been done.
Yeah.
The Future's Not Mine.
That's right.
Your Future's
right.
Not Mine. That
yeah.
was done last
yeah.
year by New York, I think it was done at Ridley Scott's agency.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. And then we looked at Puma After Hours Athletes. And we looked at that
yeah,
world.
I saw that After Hours Athlete kind of yeah, kind of
feeling
that.
Feeling
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of other things that happened. And then the client was like, yes. You know,
yeah.
luckily there's a lot of millennials in the room. And we said to them, right, millennial 1, 2, and 3,
yeah.
what do you do after hours? And the one was studying, and the one was a basketball player, and the one was a fashion,
yeah.
did her own fashion label. And that became made easy because we were able to. The audience was sitting
yeah.
in the room, and we unsold the older marketers and said, you're not going to get this. You're probably not going to like it, but
yeah.
you're going to have to trust us. And
that's
and
so dope.
Because of 6 years down the road, they did. And then the next thing was getting Tristan on board.
Yeah.
You know, a guy like that who's just done the Nedbank thing. You know, he'd just done work for Google. He didn't work for Tusker.
Yeah.
He's Coronation. He's busy, been busy. And
yeah.
to get him on board, you got to give him a board that he likes.
Exactly.
And you got to work into his schedule.
Yeah.
And originally he couldn't make the deadline.
Sure.
And we said to the client, we're like, listen, we have to push this out by like a month.
Yeah.
And again,
in order for us to do it right.
To do it right. And they'd done it. And he had done Tusker and he'd done Google and both of those projects happened in Kenya.
Yeah.
So I knew knew how to work in Kenya, which is a big deal for us to get that essence right.
Yeah.
To get the feel
yeah.
right. And I think the guys listening now from South Africa probably wouldn't have the same resonance with it that the guys in Kenya would have.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
It's so legit. It's so on point in Kenya, and that's what really
was. That is so, so dope. Because, you know what, in as much as we speak about, you know, like this the universal truths and all that,
yeah.
this is one of those, right? Like the side hustle thing exists. It exists pretty much everywhere.
Everywhere.
Right? But I think that the fact that you went in there and actually found the real textures of what it represents to people living in Kenya is really, really dope. But there's something interesting that you just mentioned right now that it is about the trust,
yeah,
right?
Totally.
And do you think that that's what it is? Like, because a lot of us are complaining now about clients, it's really hard to take clients and like hold their hand into the promised land that we want to take them to, right? But is it because you think that we all have all generally become impatient and are not spending the time putting in the in like cultivating the trust so that the client can eventually go, okay, fine, I hear what you mean. You know what I mean? Like, do you think that we're just impatient because everyone just says clients are not brave enough, right? So what's your take on it?
So I think that's a huge issue with the industry, is the whole clients aren't brave enough, and I totally buy why.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a middle of the road marketing manager. You report to the head of marketing, then you report to the group head of marketing. You report to the board.
Yeah. To the CEO.
To the CEO. To the shareholders sitting in Sweden.
Exactly.
and they're all just looking after their jobs, and they want stuff. And those situations, they want safe work.
Yeah.
We've recently, and I think this is more about the kind of work we want to do when we've identified it, is also about what the kind of clients we want to work with.
Absolutely.
And we've got the phrase independent or independently minded clients.
Dope. And that's because is dope. I like that a lot. I'm going to steal that. Independent or independently minded clients. That's dope, right?
Because you ultimately end up working with the decision maker. So you can hold their hand and you can walk them down that entire road. And so I think that there are out there that do want it, but I just don't think that you're going to get it from the multinationals or the big blue chips.
Yeah. Sure.
And we don't have, we proudly don't have one JSE listed company on our books.
I think to
or in Kenya.
Or in Kenya.
This is why agencies have side hustles as well. Yeah.
to your point though, I think that a lot of, and I might piss some people off here, but a lot of agencies don't actually believe in the brand. They believe in the idea and making this beautiful work, but you have not invested your heart and soul into the brand.
Okay, what does that mean? What does that mean? So, unpack that
for
us.
For example, the reason that this Loop ad is so great is because we actually want this app in South Africa. We want it for ourselves.
That's right.
We would want to live this. Yeah. We understand it. So what it is, Loop is a fully digital bank. Finance management products. It's an app where you can save, you can invest, you can loan, you can pay, you can pay DSTV, you can pay Telkom or whatever, but all from your app.
All those functions exist in one place.
In one place. You don't have to go inside a branch.
Right.
Well, there aren't any branches. I think that's something to note.
That's true.
There's pseudo Apple stores that exist where you can get your iPhone coffee. But also, what it really is important about this brand is that, and I don't want to get too detailed into it, but it's got a personal financial management tool built in. So while you're doing all these things, it's tracking, you're spending 20% of your money on entertainment or 10% on your car.
So
it allows you to see where you are spending your money.
It allows
you to save and invest and plan better so you can actually budget and then save towards starting your side hustle or making a side hustle full time. That's ultimately, I think, the benefit.
That is so cool.
To finish it then is, how many times do we sit in a room and you find creatives or strategists or client service people who are deadly excited about a product?
Yeah.
And we're not seeing that excitement anymore. And I can say it through the agencies I've worked with and working with you and always.
Oh, I mean, I had the excitement at that point. What are you talking
you're
about?
All brilliant, right? We're all brilliant. But in the last
I can't imagine
you're
not excited.
In the last few years, we're losing that excitement for the actual brand. And I don't know if we're feeling like we're hippies and therefore we're all floaty, floaty. No, we need to go back to that thing that got us into the industry, which was excitement about the brand.
But and I agree with you, but I also agree with the fact that there are a whole bunch of things that contribute to that. And that's an entire show on its
own.
What do you think?
I mean, I think that, some of the things that you guys have mentioned as well have contributed to people having to think about side hustles, right?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what I mean by that. So advertising has become so about, and it's strange to say not about the bottom line, because that's what it's become about, right? And all these fears that exist on the client side have all started seeping their way through into us, right?
Yeah,
so the agencies are all afraid of making the wrong move and pissing off the client, because the threat of them moving to someone else is so real in our lives right now, right?
Yeah.
So much so that you've got creatives who are working extra, extra hard and not actually allowed the time to love the brand, right?
Mm.
So now I'm constantly, I'm churning now, right? Sometimes I'm churning just to show the client that I'm actually working really, really hard. And I'm not actually spending time thinking about solving the business problem. I'm just taking the brief that's coming from the client and answering the fact that the client said that they wanted a print ad, right?
So we're not allowing enough time even for the process to happen.
We're not, the time has been slashed, and I think we all know about that. But I think that there is a big need for us, for the creatives, to start going, okay, fine, how about I sit back and think about what the business solution is. And that's how you arrive at the love for it. Because then I spend all my time, not begrudgingly, I can sit at home and I'm going, you know what, that would be cool to solve that problem. But as soon as you start pressuring me and I start hating what I'm doing, I'll start looking for a side hustle.
Yeah.
Right? Then what's going to happen? And then I'm going to say, I can't wait for Wednesday so I can do my radio show, because that's actually where I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And what we have to do is, I remember a time when the happy and the work were literally
the same thing.
You know? And I don't think that cause is lost. It's not lost yet. Because I think that, you know, people like us are in a position where we can actually reintroduce people to the idea of loving what we do every day and making sure that we can actually create work like this because we love what we do.
Yeah, but I think if you look at I'm a big big fan of Design and Dob, and I go there as often as I can. And there's always these guys who come there that are like four-man agencies from London or Netherlands or wherever.
Yeah.
And every single project they do, they love.
Exactly.
Like, it's not impossible.
No, it's not. Not at all.
And they get 12-month deadlines, which I don't understand. And huge budgets in pounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, we only had 12 months to do this and $1 million.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, why don't you build our solution
is a bicycle.
Yeah. And we came up with a wooden bicycle with no joins.
That's it.
Yeah, but I mean, these guys love what they do every single day. And they build a team around them. And you know, one of our junior guys that came to me about 6 months ago, and they said, yo, we've got to take this project on. It's like bread and butter. And you're not going to like it, but it's really bread.
Yeah.
And I said, that's absolute bullshit.
Yeah.
Why should we keep doing work? Because it pays the bills.
Yeah.
You know, keep the team smaller.
Yeah.
Choose the projects you want to work on.
Absolutely.
And have a lot of fun. Like this Loop brand, like we started working on March 2015, and we, from before it was even a thing, you know, we helped birth it. And so because we were there all along, we were able to help craft the product.
Absolutely.
And so by the time you launch it, you're like, oh, we're all in on this because we've actually helped design the product.
Yeah.
And you
have an affinity to this thing, you know, from jump. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that makes a huge difference. And that's why the independent minor clients are such a big deal. And a lot of the big agencies don't have the opportunity. They're going to win awards because they, out of 100 pieces of work, 20 are amazing.
And they're into those 20.
Like, they've got the quantity to produce good.
Is that a thing for you guys, awards? Is that a thing that you guys kind of hold dear to your independent hats?
So, yes or no. I think every work we've done is all about, does this work for the client, and does this make a difference for the client, and does the client love it?
Right.
Like, the only boss that we have is the brand, and we all have to work for the brand.
That is dope.
But the awards thing is an industry thing that just, don't hate the player, hate the game. You know, we just have to be there.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
And if we're selling this vision that we're a creative agency and we want to become like a really small independent creative agency,
then you have to win the awards. Arena, yeah.
You have to be winning the awards.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like something we have to do.
Yeah.
More than we want to. But yeah, I mean, if I was on the stage collecting a Grand Prix at Cannes, I wouldn't be saying, I wish I was someone else right now. Yeah.
I think everybody wants recognition. Let's take it and run with it.
No, it's absolutely true. I mean, I'll never bash awards. I mean, I like awards, and you're right. It's a nice feeling to walk on stage and get awards.
But it's also important for our juniors. You know, you want to be giving juniors opportunity to be winning awards when they probably wouldn't have the same opportunity.
That's right. That's right.
You know, the only reason I think we did this work with Loop was because we had six millennial creatives working on the thing.
Yeah.
And stop. And they were
six
in
six creatives. Huh? That's a big team.
Millennial creatives.
Millennial creatives. Even. I mean, don't
six
get it.
Millennial
don't get,
creatives.
Don't get it twisted. Yeah.
Yeah. So we got these guys who are like a year out of Vega or 2 years out of Vega.
That's right.
We put them on this project for 3 weeks, and we said, go. Like, just don't do anything else for 3 weeks. And that's where the insight actually came out of, was from them, when they suddenly all realized, six of them all had a side hustle. And they're all working at agency. And I was like, when they told me that, I was like, I'm not even mad. I'm impressed.
Because we also like the cakes Candace bakes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of
our designers is, and even on Instagram, it says, designer by day, baker by night.
That is nice.
The cakes are so amazing.
Also, there's always
cakes.
Cake at Halo.
It's
by Summer Place. There's always cake and beer.
And
we
coffee.
Need to go see them and coffee sometime soon. So are there plans to eventually have Halo Nairobi and Halo?
That is my dream.
Yeah.
Halo Kenya. Yeah. First stop. Someone else wanted Halo Cape Town. I was like, nah. It's okay.
Wait a minute.
I can deal with Halo. I can do Halo Nairobi.
Yeah.
So are there real plans to do something like that?
Like, we, you know, we we've got I think every piece of work that an agency does, you're only good at, only as good as your last piece of work.
That's right.
You can't be leveraging off something you did 9 years ago. At some point, someone's going to go, you know, thanks, bud, but you're irrelevant now. That was really good nine years ago.
Yeah, nice, but thank you now.
So we have to leverage off the work we're doing now, and we have to take it and go see other clients in Kenya and try to grow the agency there, because I think it is an opportunity. You know, if India is exporting IT to the world, I don't see an opportunity. I don't see why South Africans can't be exporting creativity to the world.
That is on point. On point. Yeah.
And you could do it anywhere. Like one of our partners and shareholders, he used to be the MD of Interbrand here, and then he works at an agency in London.
Yeah.
And I want to go visit him. And so, you know, you guys are charging $600 an hour for creativity. We can do it for R600 an hour.
Exactly.
You know, and there's an and the work is just as good, if not better.
If not
more
better,
time.
Yeah.
So you know, find the middle ground, send the briefs to South Africa, get the top creators in South Africa working on stuff. And I think we as an industry, and this is what I want to see more of.
Yeah.
I want to see more of this industry as a whole of South Africa exporting creativity and working together to make South Africa a creative hub.
Boom.
What I do see though, and what worries me as a small agency owner or partner is, I feel that there's this big brother club, this big boys club, that doesn't like the small agencies, that tries to protect against them.
Yeah.
And there's very little support. And you can see that on all the award show judges and on all the boards of the creative circle. It's the same 12, 15 agencies.
All the time. So, you know what? I'll tell you this. I've always felt like that. I've always felt what you just said right now. But I also feel like there is something, the tide is turning because there's a need. There's a definite need because for me, I feel like it's also a credibility thing, right? If the same panel of 5-10 people have been choosing what the best TV ads are in the country for the past 20 years, then something's wrong with us. You know what I mean? Like it's the same minds choosing every year. You know what I mean? But I do feel like there's a tide turning that where people are realizing, and pretty much every organization that runs these things is realizing that, you know, our landscape has changed a lot. Like you said, the amount of digital agencies that exist in the country or around us is indicative of the fact that there are way more opinions that we should be listening to. So,
exactly.
So I was worried a lot about it. But I'm feeling much better because I feel like the tide is turning and we are going to be fine. You guys will not believe this. People will never believe me when I say how fast this hour flies by. We are almost out of time.
What?
You will not believe it. Yeah. No, but I mean, it's another case for me to place on Gareth's table about this show needing to be longer. I'll be engaging him again about on this matter. But I mean, really quickly, before I let you guys go, what is the one thing that you guys, and I'll ask you guys to answer this individually, what's the one thing that you guys want for people to know about Avatar and what Avatar's plans are going forward?
Halo?
Who's Avatar?
Who's Avatar?
Avatar. I will take that. Fine. And apologize profusely. No, Halo. I'm very sorry, guys.
Okay, so Grant's joining Avatar.
And so I was talking to Nanduna. Thanks, Nanduna. I hope you're happy. I've just fucked up on your account.
We are owed the best dinner.
You are. On my account. Gareth, we owe these people a lot of money.
Let's ask the question again.
I'm so sorry, guys. So, Halo. You know what the fucked up thing about the fucked up and great thing about podcasts is? This is going to exist forever.
I know.
This mistake lives forever now. No. But what is the thing that you would like people to know about Halo and what Halo's plans are going forward?
Corner, do you want to answer that first?
Dean, I'm not running away. What I want people to know about Halo is, honestly, having been through the big agencies, the cogs, feeling like a number, independent is really the way to go. And
that's right.
I'm glad that the independently minded clients that we have found and are still going to search for understand the partnership of independent thinking.
Yeah.
And I also want to stay small, by the way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, no.
Yeah. I think small is small's the big idea.
Yeah. I like that a lot. I like when people say things like, you know, we have no plans of just going, like, I don't want to be a big WPP.
No.
Not anytime soon, not for a while. You know what I mean? I think that's really, really important.
So I have three goals in the next 2 years to lead the agency. And I think, and those three goals are, they're all knocks on the door.
Yeah.
So, it's about creating an independent creative agency. And the three knocks on the door is, I want the best talent to come knock on the door and they say, I want to work there. I want amazingly cool independents and independently minded clients knock on the door, say, please come work for us and we'll do this project for us. We're happy to take project. Or the third, I'd love a WPP to come knock on the door and say, we want to buy you, and I can say no.
Fuck no.
So dope. That is so, so dope. I love that.
I think you putting money where your mouth is important.
Yeah.
And I think if someone in the next 2 years came to me and said, we want to buy the agency, I'd gladly say no, because I think it proves the independence.
That is so dope.
And why would I want to sell? I'm having too much fun. Mm. It's too cool at the moment. It's like we've just reached that moment. We've just reached 7 years. I need another seven.
I think that is so dope, because it's also indicative of what you were saying earlier, that guys, we need to somehow start seeing ourselves as being able to export from here.
Yep.
You know, and once we start, once all of us go, yeah, I would really like for WPP to buy me, then you know, now you're paying for Martin Sorrell's yacht. You know what I mean? And then he's going to have to start giving you instructions on how to pay for his yacht. And that's when the independence gets lost, and that's that bullshit.
And the thinking changes, and it becomes that vanilla world, because we're trying to be the same. And South Africa's got really amazing talent.
That is so dope, guys. Guys, the hour's almost done. Thank you so, so much.
No, Grant, thank you.
Thank you.
From everyone at Avatar, thank you.
I don't think I'm going to live this one down. I saw that one coming. But thank you so much, Akona and Dean from Halo Advertising.
Thank you.
You'll spot us having dinner at some point soon, guys, which I will be paying for. But I mean, they said that they have a lot of cake, they have a lot of beer at the agency.
And coffee.
At Tehran Summer Place there. Give them a visit. I'm sure in as much as they're looking to stay small, they're always looking for amazing minds to come hang out with them and make dope stuff. So thanks once again for coming and hang out with us, guys.
Cheers, Grant. Thank you so much for having us. It's been amazing.
Dope. Go check out that ad, guys. Go to YouTube. It's also on Facebook, I think. Go there. Check out. It's for Loop. CBS. It's a really, really great ad. Check it out. Go and love it, and show it to your friends.
So let's correct Grant.
That's right.
It is Loop. CBA Loop.
Yes. Unbank yourself is the name of the ad. And hashtag Loop at the end of that. So love Loop. Sorry. So guys, go out there. Check the ad out. Have yourself another fantastic week of advertising. Take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. Take care of those briefs. But it is most important that you take care of yourselves. But once again, have yourself a dope week. Get the podcast. Once again, remember, you can play it for your moms, because we didn't swear too much. Yeah, there was one or two shit here and there, but you can play it for your mom, because we didn't swear too much. And play it around the office, because it's another inspirational story that I think everyone needs to hear, that all of us need to start adding into our conversation about becoming greater. Once again, thank you. And remember, like I say every week, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. Boom! G-Man, the ad.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this, or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.